I think the answer is that it's going to be a machlokas rishonim, whether or not we're pro or against saisims. How about that? That's always like a safe answer in a sugya. It's like, oh, it's a machlokas. Okay, so at the end of like all the sugyas about ona, there's like the sugya about marketing. Now, again, led by Rabbi Yehuda, who, after all, is always been very helpful in like arguing on the chachamim when it comes to like all the ona stuff. And the subjective component, right? Rabbi Yehuda is like, oh, it's like diamonds or stuff like that people particularly want because they want to match it with something else. So it has some sort of unique usefulness to this person. And therefore, there's no ona. When it comes, but the Chacham argues, you know, since it's market value isn't such, then there would be ona. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yichalik hachen v'niklayos ve'gozim l'tinokos. Yehuda says you can't start handing out freebies, or you can't start handing out like, you know, nuts and all sorts of like candy to kids so that they would get used to coming and visiting his store. Yehuda also says you shouldn't like cut prices, you shouldn't like make sales and undersell the market. Good on him, right? Lo yavor as a greasin. You shouldn't. Exactly what lo yavor is a little bit, not 100% clear, but it basically means to remove the bran from the, like from the beans. Okay. So instead of like having it like with all the chaff and all like the random like leaves and nut whatnot stuck in it, you make it nice and clean. Okay. Exactly what the case is, we'll see in a minute later. Divrei Abashal, Chacham Matirin, Chacham say it's fine. Everyone agrees you can't just clean off the top layer, right? Because then it looks like it's clean and been sifted and cleaned up, and really it's not. It's just the top layer looks that way. Because there you're just, right, you're making it look different than what it really is. Okay? And you can't do mefarchasin, this thing, which we'll also see exactly what it is, in order to make an eved or an animal or kelim look, you know, better than they really are. Okay, so let's start with the first case in the Mishnah. My time of the Rabbana. What did the Rabbana argue on Rabbi Yehuda? The Amarle ona mafligna amguzi vaat palik shiski. He says, look, I'm giving out walnuts. You should give out almonds, right? Like, just like I can do, put things on sale, you can also put things on sale. Right, just like you give, I'm giving out freebies. You can give out freebies, right? You can use the same marketing strategy that I am. You want to give out loss leaders? I'm giving out a loss leader. You can give a loss leader, right? Fine. That's the sheet. The machlo first argument. The lo yivchos asashar shouldn't undersell the market value. Right, my time of darbanar dishim demarvach latara. Right, great. He's lowering prices. That's fantastic for everybody. Okay, so I think for us, the question is like, what's up with Rabbi Yehuda, right? Why, like, seems pretty straightforward, right? He wants to sell lower, at least in the second case. Right, what's wrong with that? It's great. He's selling for less. So Rashi, on Leif Chosos Ashar, is don't limkar bezol, don't sell for less than the market value. The Mishim margil lavo etzlo, because then people get used to coming to him, right? And then he's going to put his friend out of business. Okay? But the Chacham says, Zachar Latov, Shavitoch Kach, Otsre Peros, Mochrin Bizol. Because then that prevents people from hoarding and it prevents the market from artificially becoming too expensive, right? So if this guy is selling for cheaper, then everyone else is going to have to lower their prices and then no one's going to start hoarding fruits in order to drive up prices because this guy's selling them for cheap anyway, right?
Okay, so what's the logic in terms of the end, like the end price in the store affecting the otsar?
Basically, you have these people who stockpile resources, or let's say grain, right? And then by doing so, there's less supply, right? That drives prices up, and then they sell it when the prices are higher. Right, so they create an artificial crunch so that they can sell, right? And they can inflate the prices. I think there's a word for it. If I had gone to Sims, I would probably know the word for it.
Is this not similar to like price fixing?
Yeah. So in Sims, it's to prevent price fixing. Exactly. There are these people who just come, they buy up all the supply, and then right, and then there's okay, then there's no more supply, so then they can crank up the prices. Okay.
So that prevents. You made me hungry for some almonds.
What do you say?
You made me hungry for almonds.
Very good. All right, Dehila, whereas, you know, you'd have to start pulling out and giving out like walnuts. Shimmy's gonna get all the business from them as a grocery store. If either of us were opening a grocery store, then Shimmy would be winning. So the Yad Ramah here. Oh wait, sorry, that was Rashi. Actually, moved on, right? So Rashi says there was margulava. So like the interesting thing is like Rashi's Taina is like very interesting, right? One of our values when it comes to to marketing and business, is that you don't want to put your competition out of business, right? Which is funny, right? Part of one of your responsibilities as a businessman is not to run your competition out of town, right? Because then you're mefakach mezonos chavero, and that's a problem, right? The chacham is saying, oh no, zachal atov should be tochkach otzer peres mocher mezol, right? There's this broader societal, market-wide benefit that prevents, right, price fixing. So that's good. But otherwise, it sounds like also the chachamim are moved to that basic value, right, of mefakach mezonos chavero, just that we have a broader benefit to society. But really, right, Rabbi Yehuda's basic principle is this idea that you, as a businessman, you actually have to take care and be worried about your competition's parnasa, which I think is very interesting, right? The Yad Ramah takes a different approach. He says, "Remitoshu mareshu mocher bezol nimtze margilas bnei adam lavo etzla v'humi rame osan b'mido b'mishko b'ir of piros raos b'yafos." He says, no, right? You're a businessman. You don't have to worry that your competition who's selling for more expensive is going to go out of business. That's his problem, right? You know, he wants to stay in business. He needs to compete with the prices. The problem with selling with sales, right? What happens when you put things on sale? So usually there's some sort of deception involved, right? If something's on sale, right? Oh, but we don't have any more of those, so here, try to have this other one, right? Or, oh, yeah, it's on sale, right? And it's really, it's worth this or really not, but it's not. And then he gives you worse stuff. It's like on Amazon, there are those items that are always, you know, 50% off, right? There's like brands that are just like always 50% off. So you feel like, oh, I'm getting a good deal, right? Because I'm getting this $100 watch for 50, right? But really, it's like a $30 watch. It's like junky, right? They just make it look like it's more, worth more.
So similar to like those businesses that always have a going out of sale sign on their doors. So like you think, oh, you're getting it liquidation prices.
Exactly. Right? The perpetual liquidators. So, right? Because they're margil ben adam level at slow. And then he's meramel san b'mido b'mishko b'irupiros raos b'yafos. And really they're selling you second-rate, right, produce, or they're deceiving you in how much they're giving, but because you think you're getting a sale, right, so you think you're getting a good deal, and therefore you're not as cautious, and really it's a way of cheating you, right, and you end up cheating them on the quality, right, more than they benefit from the sale, right, so you take off, oh, it's like 30% off, right, but it's, the quality-wise, it's 50% as good, you know. Okay, so that's what the Yad Ramah says is the real problem, right? What's the problem here? There's some fraud going on, right? There's some actual monetary deception going on. That's the problem, right? But Rashi is much more mechudash. Now, there's a real problem of, you know, driving your competition out of business. And you have to make sure, essentially, that you don't, you know, lower costs and lower prices so much that your competition has to gets run out of business. Yeah, Tila.
I'm just wondering if there's like a machlokes metzius between the Rashi and the Yad Ramah. Like, the Yad Ramah is just assuming.
The first like half of your sentence got cut off.
Oh, I'm just wondering if there's like a machloket mitziyut in terms of how they see the case. Meaning, like, for the Adramah, like, there's no way you're going to cheapen it without there being trickery involved. For Rashi, there's not inherent trickery, right?
Right. I mean, for Rashi, you're totally honest, right? The problem isn't that you're being dishonest. The problem is just that by lowering the prices, you're going to run this other guy out of business, right? Being, like, too cutthroat of a businessman is a problem, even if you're being told, even if you're totally honest, right? While the Chachamim, that's according to Rabbi Huda, right? Rabbi Huda. Yeah, Rabbi Huda. The Chachamim argue, because they disagree with the fundamental principle. They just think that having a free market, right, prevents price fixing, right? Having this guy lower prices prevents price fixing. But it's not because we don't have that value. For the Adramah, you don't have, like, you can be an aggressive businessman. There's nothing wrong with that, right? The assumption of the Adramah is that clearly this Gemara thinks that by using all of these tricky marketing practices, you're also going to be cheating them some other way, right? Now, what's funny is that the Adramah kind of like sees marketing and deception, you know, as almost being like psychologically inseparable. You know, like once you're like a good marketer, it's almost impossible for you not to also like be like a snake oil salesman, you know, and you're like really also cheating somebody. Right? Okay. The Rambam, right, as it's Mutalavar is a greasing of a law al piamgura, Shaino Alakir going sign Vidamashu Hakobar. Right, that's, you know, you can take out the chaff, like, and stuff, but the whole thing, not only some of it. Right, and you can even lower the prices from the regular shuk in order to have more people buy from him and buy from on credit. Totally fine. And that's not going to even say that, right? Because he's being honest about it. He's being upfront about it. Okay. So that was our first case. Is really, we have this machlokes, right? Rashi and Yad Ramah. Is the problem one of like being overly aggressive in business, right? Rashi thinks you have to worry that Rabbi Huda thinks you need to worry about your fellow competition. V'yahafta la competition kamocha on some level. You have to worry about his parnasa, right? And the Chachamim think that the benefit to the general market and to the general population is sufficient to override that. While Rabbi Yad Ramah thinks, no, it's clearly it's because of we're concerned, right? Or we assume that savvy marketing usually comes with savvy deception as well, right? And by doing, and therefore we discourage, right? Or we even outlaw, right? Like these sorts of marketing techniques because they almost inevitably come together with actual financial misdemeanors. Yeah. Teal, you had a question? Or should he? Someone had a question. Nope. Oh. Okay. All right. So the next one was Lo Yivor, Esapsoles, right? Which is like taking out the leaves and the chaff and all that other stuff. So Rashi explains what's the problem. Lo Yivor Esapsoles. The fish me toch shmiros yafos who mala al demehem harbe mi demeh hapsola shenatom. Okay, what's the problem? If I take out the bran, right, then I'm going to charge a premium. But how much am I going to charge extra? I'm not going to charge extra the amount of like it costs, the amount of effort, right, that it took, or the extra value of the fact that like when I sell it by weight, 1 kilo now is like a kilo of pure beans instead of a kilo that's like 95% beans, 5% chaff and whatever, right? But I'm going to increase the price by like 20% because it's a premium product now. And that's always true, right? A premium product is usually sold by significantly more than the amount that took, like the extra effort that was involved in doing so, in getting it ready, right? So why is that? Right? Because once you're like going premium, so then like we're like, oh, you're willing to pay more, so we'll charge you like a lot more. So Rashi says it's usur because you're charging them. You talk to Nira Yafos, or people see a cleaner product, a nicer product, right? And it is a little bit better because they took out the chaff, but the price for the premium version, right? The premium rice is, you know, the brand name rice, which is a little bit cleaner, a little bit better, right? Is a lot more than the generic brand because, you know, because for that little extra, a little bit cleaner, a little bit better quality, they're charging a lot more. But since you're charging a lot more, you're charging a lot more than what you actually changed its value, that's not allowed. Okay, now again, this points this idea that you really need to give fair value for what you're getting paid. Even if the person is, you know, is aware that they're paying a premium, right? And that's a very interesting idea, that it's not just about like, oh, well, on the market, people are okay with this, right? Or they're not, no one's being cheated. Right? But by making like a slightly cleaner, slightly better product, it's now like a premium product, you still can't charge, you know, that like extra amount that we charged, oh, because it's premium, so now we're going to like charge like a whole extra percentage. Yeah, Tehillah.
According to what I have in the Gemara, this is no longer Rabbi Yehuda.
Lo yever eshap soleh. No, that's to do the whole thing. That's if you don't do the whole thing, no?
So the Mishnah, they have the loy plot me ashar, and then it says loy vorta grisin divrei avashel, the chachami matirin.
Oh, you're right. I think it's Avashal. Correct. I think I'm.
I was just wondering, yeah, because Rashi's Svara here seems different than what we've, like, if Rashi made it about the customers here, but about the business owners there, that would seem to be a little wider. So I was wondering if he's trying to fit that all within Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, correct. No, you're right. I just mislabeled that. Yeah, right. It's Divrei Avashal. Right. The first two are both Rabbi Yehuda. Important, a good point, right? Rashi takes on both points of Rabbi Yehuda, both the Lo Yechalek Chen V'nei Klayos, Shehu Magril and Lavo, and Liv Lo Yevchos Ashar, both of which, right, are because you're going to end up putting the other guy out of business, not because you're cheating, right? For Abashal's point, Lo Yevchos Agrisin is not because you're going to put the other guy out of the business, but because even though the person is willing to pay a premium, you can't charge a premium for more than the value of what you're giving, right? You need to give the guy fair value for his money. And since you're charging a premium because it's a premium product, he's not getting fair value for his extra money, right? That's already a different idea. That goes much closer back to like the world of Ona, right? Correct. That is Avashal. And I'm actually, you know, I'm going to fix that right now because that is an important mistake. Avashal. Okay, sorry. Right, here's our Gemara. Right, lo yivar es agrees in devar Avashal chamim matirin man chachamim. Rav Acha, the Tanya, Rav Acha matir b'davar hanire. Rav Acha says anytime it's like nire, anytime the customer can see it and he knows that he's paying a premium for this extra, for this different, so then that's allowed, right? Because as long as the customer is aware, you're allowed to charge him more. You're allowed to charge a premium for a premium product, even though it's not, he's not really getting fair value for his extra money, right? Because he's aware of it, right? Rav Acha Amar Matir B'davar Hanira. Okay. Okay, yeah, fine. So that's the Ein Mefaskin. Now that leads us directly into the Ein Mefarchsin and Ein Mefaskin, which are about, again, about like how you present the product, is how does that affect, you know, the sale, and when is that, what's allowed or what's not allowed? So he says, "Im farchazin lasad adam v'lasad kelim, im shavetin as behema, All these things are techniques that make someone who's, let's say, make someone look healthier and bigger and like juicier in case of meat than they really are. Right, so soaking the meat in water makes it look juicier. Like a special technique for like how to brush the hair of the animal to make it look like a bigger animal, right? Because now its hair is like sticking out, but like you don't notice it's sticking out. Just like instead of being this like scrawny cow, Atlanta now looks like a little bit, you know, a little bit like beefier and tougher, right? All those things are aser. My im nishavatin hachag tirgumel my dechazra ziriyamar mezakfsa. Okay, basically.
Why is that like a fetish? Like it's just like, oh yeah, you're not allowed to lie. Great, and like you know, perceiving something as though it's a product is obviously lying. As it is obviously lying. Or is it like, lying is something of debor, and if you're doing deception, like lying without debor is something that's
okay.
That is okay or something.
Okay, so I would say like this. Lying straight out is definitely usur, right? If you tell the person this animal is 5 years old and it's really 10 years old, of course that's lying, right? That's mekach talis. Of course it's usur to imply that it's one thing when it's really not, right? But I guess the question becomes, what about, I mean, two cases. One is, what if you're just making it look very nice, right? Now, again, on the one, you want to present your product, right? Let's say you're selling used cars. So then you're not going to sell them when they're covered in mud and their paint job is like totally destroyed, right? On the other hand, if you like give it a really nice paint job, right, then it looks like it's, you know, newer and better than it really is, right? So is there like a line wherein you're allowed to like make the product appealing without it being deceptive? Are you allowed to make it look good when it's just okay without implying facts about it that are not true, but like that just make it like a much more appealing product that looks a lot better than it really is? Not in like a necessarily such like a clear quantitative state, right? But like someone's like gut instinct or like eyeballing reaction will be better than the truth, right? Like if I make it look like it's 3 years old when it's only 5 years old, I think that's more of like a quantitative deception. What if I just make it look nice and appealing, right? And you know, when it's like, it's just fine. It's like, it's okay. It's not great, right? But you know, you clean it up, you just like draw attention to the things that are nice, right? There's gonna be some sort of line. That's number one. Number two is about the price point. Let's say you're selling it for the actual value that it really is worth, but you make it look better so that the person thinks he's getting a deal. He's not getting gypped, right? But he thinks that he's getting a good deal at it. When really he's just getting, you know, the normal price, right?
That sounds like that issue would not necessarily be an issue with the buyer, but more issue on the effect on the market.
Look,
if I'm making a person think they're getting a deal, okay, great. They think they're getting a deal, so they're buying for me. But it's like, if the thing would be $5 with this guy or $5 with me, but the thing they're getting a $10 product, only getting $5, but only paying $5, then now the $10 products will have to lower the prices. And so that would be a deal in affecting the market, not in.
Interesting. Okay, that's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. That's also a very valid point. It does damage like the market. But I was just thinking more in general, is like in terms of the seller. Right. And a lot of these things seem to be focused on the seller or like formulated in terms of the seller. If it's a deceptive practice, it's a deceptive practice, right? I mean, even if you're not necessarily causing harm, right, it's prohibited to deceive other people, right? Gnevas das. I would actually say.
Wait, so you're saying like doing card trick is similarly problematic? Like it would be the same idea? Because it's just
deception you're saying, like not deceiving somebody for your benefit, right? And doing a card trick.
I don't know. My card trick is because my benefit of, I don't know, I like to do card tricks. And like, you seem to be saying that it's all a deed in deception. We don't care. Like, it's $5 here, $5 there. They're just buying it here versus buying it there. It doesn't matter. But like, it has an effect on the market. So, but like, I'm saying, if you're saying it's all a deed in deception, then like, okay, great. Now I can't do a card trick in the same way because I never thought that I'm saying I can make a card float, but I really can't. You know?
I mean, actually telling people that you could do like a magic might be actually a problem, but just like, I mean, first of all, I don't think it's so obvious that that's fine, right? Like, I think the Rambam thinks that if you present it as actual magic, that like, it would really be a problem. It's a little bit more of like a Kishafi problem than a Gnei Vasdas issue. But I think, you know, first of all, you could argue that it's at all to be Gnei Vasdas. I think Gnei Vasdas in most cases we assume has to do with like a more of like, where there's some sort of either you're like using the deception for like a concrete benefit to yourself, or that in some way it's damaging or detrimental to them. But I, you know, which I don't think would be applicable in the card trick case. Yeah, I think here you definitely accrue a benefit. Where you're definitely doing it for a concrete benefit. And using deception, right, to accrue benefit is problematic. So it's also problematic in terms of, like, the other person.
To get money, like, that then we're dealing with the same thing then. Right? Because I'm getting physical benefit, right? Like, you know, people do card tricks on the street. I don't know. And they, people
will. First of all, there's no name that's there. Like, no one thinks that they're actually doing magic. It's just a cool trick.
Okay, fair enough. Like, because everyone knows that, oh, this is a sleight of hand that's very cool and they're talented. Right.
And I think also, even if they really thought, like, whatever it was, I think that there's a difference between Gnei Vasdas, where you're manipulating other people into, like, doing something and just leaving them with the wrong impression about something totally disconnected from you or from anything that you, like, you want them to do or they need it or that you benefit from. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between like they having the wrong opinion about like the facts of the matter and using deception to get them to do something.
Okay.
Right. Something that like,
that's what
the question that sticks out for me in terms of how much we can apply this. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't realize I was interrupting you.
No, go for it. Yeah.
But like the question that's like running through my mind in terms of whether we can compare the market to card tricks or anything like that is that we're assuming like a really naive, uneducated buyer, right? That wouldn't say, so by the way, how old is this card?
No, but yeah, so here's the thing. Let's say I actually ask the guy. I think that's a great question, which is what if the guy really asks, if it says on the label how old it is? Right? It says how many miles it has. It says how old it is. Right? It's all right there on the registration. Right? But the visceral reaction, right? And the impression that you get from seeing a car that looks like it's 2 years old, even though it's really 10 and it has 100,000 miles on it, but it looks like it has 15,000 miles on it. Right? Is even if you totally inform him of all the facts, right? It's all and it's mamash written right there on the registration. The fact that it looks that way, right? And that's the visceral. What about the fact that he gets the visceral reaction from that? Number two is it gives him the impression, even though you're not telling him this, that like this car might technically be 10 years old and have 100,000 miles. But it's gonna drive like an angel because just look at it. It's just like look at that, you know, perfect paint, like you know, gleaming hubcaps, whatever, right? It just gives off that impression it looks, you know, like, I don't know, the engine, if he adds, you know, you add in one of those like noisemaker mufflers, demufflers, dufflers, I don't know what you call them, as amplifiers, like that just make the engine like, you know, have that growl, that throaty growl that's like, you know, driving a tiger, right? Even though you didn't tell the person that, wow, this car is in amazing shape and it's like really a race car that's disguised as like, you know, a used Prius or, you know, like, that's like the like car that's like, you know, like just you buy, I don't know, Ford Focus. It's like the used Ford Focus. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not running any like, you know, Indy 500s, but you just like give the guy like that impression, like maybe that itself is already a problem, even though you're not lying at all, right? So I think like this is the Gemara, right? Okay, fine. Shmuel shara lemirma tumi lesarbala, and Rabbi Yehuda shara lechsuche karmi. Basically, Shmuel said you're allowed to add on decorative hems to garments, and Rabbi Yehuda said you're allowed to add like decorations on the edge of ceramics. Okay, Rava shara lemedak sardi. I forgot what that was, and Rava shara letzlume gibu. Okay, basically the point of all of these. Okay, all of these are cases where you're adding on decorations, okay, decorative fringe, decorative like decorative carvings onto wood or to ceramics, decorative paintings on the edge of the kli onto a used kli. Wait a second, you're not allowed to make the animal look bigger. You're not allowed to feed it like this bran water that makes it like puff up. You know, you're not allowed to like put hair gel in to make its hair like stand on end so that it looks bigger, right? But you are allowed to give the car a paint job, right? So the answer is lo kasha. Ha bechadasi ha batik. It's, oh, this is a new one of these old ones. Pirchas da damai. Like, ha da hu av da sabad da azal tzave le reshe. Anyway, he dyed his hair and beard black. I was like, "Made the Rava, don't they buy me?" He said, "No." Asked me the Papa Bar Shmuel Zavne Machada. I'm like, "Ah, Ashi Maya Azal Chaver the Reshay Dikne." I'm like, "Chazi Dana Kashish Me Avucha." And so he went. He's like, he said, "Okay, go get me water." So he went. He washed out the dye. He says, "Look, I'm older than your father. Right? You can make me work for you. Like I'm older than your father." There's like thing that you shouldn't buy avadim, gaim as avadim, and I did, and like look, I got stuck. Okay, let's chat. What's going on with this stuff? So the Rambam says, "Rematan love words that reason." Let's give it to me for a second, and I'll try to find the other Rambam. Okay, so the Meiri, right, explains in fact, as Yiru kechadashim, perish advarim, but Adam sheim hayalo eved o ama olimkor. We talk zignasam nirim behim simin zikna. Who said Lavan in someone also shiyurush chorim lirabos b'michirehim? Okay, so you can't make them look younger in order to charge more. Ubekelim sheimhem yishanim shelo yiklafam ad kadei shiyuru kechadashim. Can't like right? It's like a way to make them, you know, fabric softener or whatever. It makes like them look fluffier and newer. Ubehema shemakin osaharbe ad she b'sara nofech v'nir kibalas b'sar. Sheyirbu hakonim b'mechir shela, right? Afilu b'machra b'damim kalim. Mikomakom yishkan gnevas hadas. He says, even if you're selling it for cheap, this cow is worth 100. You're selling it for 80, right? But you're making it look like it's worth 150, right? So the guy comes, he sees you're selling it for 80, and it looks like it's worth 150. He's like, "Ah, this is a good deal," right? So they're gonna jump on it, right? So you're actually selling it b'damim kalim. You're even selling it for cheaper than it's really worth. You're selling it for cheap, right? But there's gneivas hadas. You're still deceiving the customer, right? You're not cheating him monetarily that you're taking away his money, but that's gneivas hadas. But you can't deceive people. You're not allowed to deceive people, and especially not for your benefit. And that's just a rule, right? That's a value. Even though financially you're not doing anything wrong, because you're actually selling this for cheaper than it's what it's worth, right? But now this guy thinks he's getting a really good deal, even though he's just getting a decent deal, right? So that's deception. You're not allowed to deceive people, right? So basically, marketing strategies that involve deception, even when you're not financially cheating anybody in terms of like, they're getting more than the value and their fair value. It's kind of like the inverse of Rashi before, right? Rashi before was saying, you actually make it better, but because you made it better, you're going to charge them a premium. So they're not getting fair value for their money because you're charging them a premium because it's a premium product, right? Even though fundamentally, right, they know. So here it's the opposite. Here you're actually, right, they're paying less. They're getting more than fair value for their money, but they're being deceived.
I don't understand the Havamina. Why differentiate here and just regular, you know, regular deception to the regular price? Why would you have the Havamina that you differentiate both of Kneva Da'at, and it seems like Miri has this emphasis on Kneva Da'at, so why, what is that like, because you're giving a deal, it's like Mivatal at the Kneva Da'at or something? Like, that doesn't, it just doesn't make much sense to me. What is Havamina?
The idea of Kneva Das, even though you're not charging him, you're not getting using it to charge him more, and you never explicitly like lied to him, right? You're making this thing look really good, right? But you're selling it for cheap. Right? I mean, let's say you go on Amazon and this product is always on a 50% off, right? But it happens to be, it's actually quite a good product and it's really worth, right, 10% more than what you're paying for it. Like your standard market price for a product that's equally good would actually be 10% higher. But they list it on Amazon as a 50% off, right? So then what happens is that a problem? Right? So the answer is yes, right? That would be Gnevas Pashas, is that's like Gnevas Das, right? Even though you are actually giving a good deal, right? And like, legit, like, you know, it's getting good value for his money, right? So that's just like that's like, I guess, an analogous example for us, which I think is a little easier to get. Okay. Now, what's wrong? There's a more in Erechin. It says by Alf Shamru, Avadim Nimkarim Biksusan Lashabach, Shem Tilakach Lo Ksus Bishloshim Dinar Meshubach Man. Right? We say that an Eved, right? If you sell him wearing nice clothes, if you buy him clothes worth 30 dinar, right? His value goes up by 100. Right? Meaning, if you have a used car, and it's a good car, it's in good shape, but it's, you know, it has a few dings in the bumper and it has a lot of scratches in the paint. If you pay $200 to get the paint job fixed, the price of the car goes up by $500. Okay? V'chein para imam tinin osa le'iklis mishubachasi. V'chein margales imalin osa le'krach mishubachasi. In lehekdesh ele makomo meshait. Okay? It says, even though, right, if you were to bring a diamond to the city, it's worth a lot more than in a little village, right? And if And if you take buy nice clothing for your Eved, his value goes up much more than what you invested, than what you invested in it, right? That's totally, seems totally fine, right? But when it comes to Hekdesh, we evaluate things based on how they are right now, even though they, you could raise their value. Okay, that's a side point about Hekdesh. But the point seems that you're allowed to do, to buy them, right, a nice clothes, so that they go up in value, right? So what's that? What's the hesber? What's the difference, right? Mashbiach humana yos b'mash shav achshav afagav de'im mefarchasin adam behema kadei lashbiach mekhan, right? I mean, to have like a gonev ha'ayin haynu b'shmiskavin l'marot sheyachshov hakoneh sheyish b'mekach davar she'im bo be'emes, right? If you make it look like this product or this, you know, this animal has something that it doesn't really have, right? Let's say it has some white hairs and you get rid of it because you want to make it look younger. You're going to sell it at the lower price, but you're making it look like it's younger. Right? If you make a used car look brand new with the intention of making it look like it's really brand new, right? That's a problem. Right? If you make it look like it has something that doesn't have, that's deceptive. You're allowed to, the marketing is allowed. You're allowed to present the product in a way, right, which makes it appealing, right, and makes people want to buy it. For like touch and flies, right? But the point is that what? Is that you're allowed to try to make people want to buy the product. If you have a used car and it's all dinged up, and you could bring it to the garage and have it cleaned up and fixed for a few hundred dollars, and that's going to raise its price by $1,000, you're allowed to do that, right? Because you're not presenting the car as if it's brand new, right? People just don't really feel a taiva to buy a car that's all dinged up, right? So by making it more presentable, people are more interested in buying it, but not because they're convinced that it's better than it really is, right? So there's a difference between if you make it seem like it's something other than what it is, right? Even if you're not financially deceiving them, that's a problem because that's gneva stas. But presenting it in a appealing way is fine, right? So, yeah. Right. So you have the idea of ona, right? Ona, one option is it's even gazelle, right? And that's a person needs to get the shovi of his money, right? But if the person gets the shovi of his money in ona, right? So you, in this case, in the case of marketing, right, as long as the person really gets the value, fair value for their money, there's no ona, okay? However, right, you have the possibility, this idea of gemuras das, which is subjective to the konen. And then from Rabbi Yehuda, and this is actually quite cool, Rabbi Yehuda is the person who is most mekel by ona, right? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said that like buying diamonds, Rabbi Yehuda says, by margalios and animals that you want to be mizavgan, since the kone, the buyer knows what you're going to raise the prices because it's special, and he would agree because he really wants this one. So for him, there's gemiras das, right? So it's not that ona is a din gazel, ona is a din gemiras das, right? But if the second guy doesn't totally understand what he's doing, right? Or there's something that's impacting his das and pushing his das, right? So that's a problem, right? And this type of shivuk is a problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So, because what does Rabbi Yehuda think? He doesn't think that the problem with ona, as Gishmak, right? Rashi said what? The problem with, the problem is that the guy's not getting fair value. But if he is getting fair value, then there's no ona, right? Because you need to get fair value for your money. Now, then Rehuda comes in, and that's also Abba Shah, right? About the greasing. Yehuda thinks the Ikar like Mirastas. But if you give out the Klaios and whatever, the guy's tricked into coming and buying from this guy, even though, or for more, because he's, right, his free will is being impacted by some external factor, that's problematic. Just like in the case of Ona, the opposite is true, where he has total Gemiras Das, even though he's paying more than the market price, that's going to be fine, right? So Yehuda makes it more about Gemiras Das, right, both Lechumra and Lekula. Right. And finally, the more we want to talk about this idea of like tzedek bashuk, right? It was also what Shimi was trying to bring in terms of like the Gnevas Das, like it also has this impact on the market, right? If you deceive it, even if the value is still accurate, right? So then if it really deceives about that product, right, then it could impact on the market. And number two is a separate problem of Gnevas Das, where if you just make it look like it has something that it doesn't have, that could be, it's a problem, even if it has no financial impact, right? Because that's Gnevas Das, right? So, right. So what we've basically seen is we have a machlokas here in terms of chalukas klaios, right? Rashi says, it's not that you're deceiving or you're not lying at all. It's the problem is that you have a responsibility, let's say a tzedek hashuk responsibility to your fellow man's business, right? While the Anurad says, no, it's got to be about merame, right? There's got to be some sort of deceit, some sort of like, you know, underhandedness that's going on in order for it to be awesome.
But we don't have Rabbi Yehuda right now in the tzedek hashuk category.
Pardon? No, Rashi, I'm saying this is Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm saying, Pshat right. Rabbi Yehuda, right? I mean, what's funny is, like, I'm just like, just in terms of the Mishnah, without getting into Rashi's explanation. Rashi gives an explanation that, oh, it's because it's Pogay on the other person's Parnassah. But I just like, if you just look at the Mishnah, right, Rabbi Yehuda is like, oh, there's this problem of being Cholik Kleos that goes in with Tinokos, right? Why? Because Magilan Lavalatzlan. So the Aramah, oh, because like then they're going to come, right? And then they won't pay as much attention to the produce that they're buying, right? Now, what's funny, especially about the meaning, and it's a little bit more, Rashi's Shita is very schmack. But like, just from like the Mishnah, you got like, oh, right, there's a problem because you're Megillah level. Why is that a problem? So Rashi, actually, Rashi could equally be Pshat. Right? It's Mechudash, it's like a new Yisod, right? But also with the Yaramav, let's say, Loyefchos Menashar are a problem, and Margilan Lavo problem, right, is both that it causes them to come. Is it worth Margilan Mavchos Sashar in Rashi? Whatever. Is Mavchos Sashar, and then they're going to come, right? Marashim Mocher Bezol, Margil Ben Adam Lavo at Slow, and then, right, they're not going to be as careful about the other stuff. Without keeping track of his prices, right? Like you get used to the idea that like one store is like the cheaper store because they have like good sales, and then they like hike up their prices on certain other things, and then at the end it turns out like they're not even cheaper than the other places. They actually kind of hiked up all their prices on some stuff, but you don't notice because you're used to think to the fact like, oh, they have a good sale on this, they have a good sale on that, right? It's a little bit like loss leaders, right? You advertise that you're selling something for very cheap, but then you get them into the store and then you sell them, you know, could be just selling normally, everything else for the normal price, but it could also be that, right? Then your Maramos and Bemidah Mishkal Be'erah Peros Raos, the rest of the stuff is like bad quality, but like you got them in based on the sale on like a few good quality products, etc. Right? So then you have this, again, the split of like, do we take it in the direction of like a Achrayut to the Tzibor, to the other people? Or an idea like, no, right? You need really Gemiras Das. And the more that you impact on this person's Gemiras Das, or Yehuda says, well, then they're not going to be as careful. And then they don't really have full Gemiras Das, which is ironic, but cool that Yehuda is the one who's more makil by Ona when it comes to things that are very valuable because people have more Gemiras Das there, right? By diamonds and whatever, because they really want that particular one. right? So here you're tricking the people, right? They have less gemiras das or less awareness of what they're getting into, right? Because of your marketing technique. For a Yehuda, that's a bigger problem than according to the Chacham, says the Arama. Because a Yehuda really sees things more in terms of the gemiras das. Right? Then we got into the question of, all right, well, what types of marketing stuff is okay? And the Meiri and the Teres Yisrael both go to this idea, essentially, right, that the Meiri points out, even if you're selling it for less, right, that as long as the person thinks that it has something that it doesn't, right, sheyirbu hakonim b'mechir shala, right, there more people will come and buy. As Shimi pointed out, that you could really interpret that as a din in like the pigia to the shuk, right? Because he all starts with l'rabos b'mechireihem, right? Because either you want to raise the prices, or even if you're going to keep the price at its own price, right? People are going to come quicker to buy it. Right? More people are going to want to buy it, even though you're selling it at its actual price. But that's gnevas das, right? That focuses more on the like the more people are going to come, you're accruing a benefit out of it, right? While Tiferes Yisrael emphasizes the idea like as like a more as a more like, as, I don't want to say conceptual, but like more object-oriented definition, right? Which is when you try to make it look like the object has something that doesn't, that's gnevas das. When you want to just make it appealing, right? That's okay. Right? That's really his chakira. If you want to make it look better, right? You want to make it an appealing product, that's fine. As long as it doesn't imply that it has some sort of property that it doesn't really have. Okay. Fine. So that's basically that for like our shivuk sugya. Yeah. But it just really, I think it gets into this question, right? Like there's some sort of objective lines of like what's lying, what's deceptive, what's like really financially taking advantage of somebody else, right? Which is, obviously Gazelle, but also like Ona. But then there's this sort of very large gray area of, you know, is anytime you're, let's use aggressive marketing or, you know, you're trying to like use other parts of people's psychology to get them to buy things other than just like the bare, like basic, like what the product is and what the market value is, you know, is that a problem? You know, is that type of like, is that manipulation? Or no, right? Or, and like, do you have a responsibility to like not start, you know, using those sorts of techniques to like manipulate people? Or there's no problem with that at all. And obviously you have to be honest, right? But there's no problem with using like other levers to, you know, of human psychology to get people to buy your products, right? Or to give you business advantages. And it really seems like that's a bit of a machlokas here, right? Definitely you can't lie and deceive and like give the impression that there's something in the product that doesn't exist, right? That's actually like gnevas das. But I think, you know, a little bit part of the question of whether you're allowed to be like le'orer chifetz hakonim l'knoso, right? As like, not just to like have it clean and nice, but like really to try to like, you know, make it like extra, you know, exciting, etc. Like mechalik, you know, it goes in muklayos in order to like get people to come. Also, is you know, is machlokes, right? The Rashi in the Arama, and how far do we go in saying like, oh, you know, it needs to, you know, it's here. There's like real deception, right? Or no, anytime, like, you know, it's, but like, it's also okay as long as there's no, as long as it's trying to get them to buy it or no, that might be a problem. It's just like very, it's still left a little bit, I think, not totally clear because like, as like a final, like, lamaskana, like, how do you like pass good sort of question? I feel it's a little left uncertain. But I think that's really the, like kind of like our final question, let's say, is like, is the Meiri different than, let's say, the Teres Yisrael? And for the Teres Yisrael, it's clear that like or chifetz hakonim l'knoso is fine, right? As long as you don't imply that like there's some feature or property that doesn't exist. In the Meiri, right? It sounded like it sounds like you also need to like really deceive.
For everyone else too,
you know, if that wasn't true, you know, would that be a little different? Anyway, it's like I still
you disclosed the past minute.
Oh, okay, sorry. Anyway, it's not important. I was just like trying to like just like expressing like I'm a little bit uncertain. Is there like a difference between the Meiri and the Tiferes Yisrael? You know, is there like a difference between those two definitions, right? First of all, it definitely focuses in on the facts part of it, right? Like in terms of like a genivas das, I think this really could connect to the issue that Shimi and I were kind of arguing about, which is first of all, it's like, oh, it's about the fact, it's about how you present it, and therefore you as the person saying it, like it would be genivas das if you were to imply that it has something that it doesn't have, right? As a fact. You're allowed to cause the other person to like want it. You can't imply that she yashav hakoneh sheish b'mekach davar she'imbo be'emes, right? Because it's like an affront to truth. Well, for the Meiri, right, the focus, even though I'm not sure if practically there's any difference in terms of the case, but the focus is on that the laharbos b'mechirin, right? The yesh kan genevas das she'girbu hakoneh b'mechir shela. It's about the impact on the buyers, or more accurately on the market, right? That this is sort of like a dini mamonis issue. That's like our question, is this like a gnevas das, right? Because like, oh, you know, like he's gonna have us das because like practically like you're lying to someone and you're deceiving somebody. And then Shimi's card trick question is like a much better question, right? Which I think we had a good answer for, right? Which is like gnevas das is also where there's like a concrete, you know, deception for some sort of purpose, right? Even if it's just malicious purpose or whatever, here that's as opposed to just like, oh, they get the wrong impression. But according to the Meiri, it might be that Gnevas Das isn't about the MS. It's a financial issue, right? This is a financial Gnevas Das. And therefore, it's Dafka because of the financial impact and the fact in the financial context. It's like a Choshen Mishpatin, in which case the card trick question is just not connected because it's not a market, it's the end of the market. Right, and that's not a market issue. Fine, okay. Ad kan, and I will update you guys about what we're having our share and what next share is on, because I have to pick if we should do some onos dvarim or maybe do a little bit of kinyanim stuff, and we'll discuss that. I'll figure that out. Okay,
thank you.